What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, time for our conversation with Len Casper, the voice of the White Sox, Sox baseball, Pittsburgh, coming up here in a half hour from right now. Len Casper, it's brought to you by our great friends and partners at your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Toyota, let's go places.
Let's go places.
Len, how you feeling today?
I am wonderful. How are you guys?
We're good. We have a question about a submarine or an airplane here. How do you do it, Waddle?
Well, I have a follow-up. We were asked a question. Would you rather be stuck on an airplane or a submarine if couldn't get out of either?
Airplane.
I said the same.
There's something about underwater.
Yes. I'm claustrophobic to begin with, which creates an anxiety. If you, for whatever reason, I'm thinking that if I'm on an airplane, there's less anxiety involved than there is being in a submarine also underwater. I don't know if that's irrational on my behalf or if that's kind of common thought.
Yeah, I just think you hear the term fish out of water.
Yeah.
I think I'm that way in water, so I would say I'd rather be in an airplane.
Okay, and the follow-up is, if the submarine runs out of submarine fuel, whatever that is, does the submarine sink to the bottom or float to the top?
Ooh, I'm going to say it sinks.
I did, too.
Mm-hmm.
I did, too. I thought that it would go to the... I'm thinking Red October, the movie, and I'm trying to connect the dots and think if there was anything there I could learn from it, but I
Well, the
I
question would be, right, what is the apparatus that gets it from the top of the water to the bottom? What happens?
See, that's why Len is smarter than all of us, because
of
it's two separate systems. One's fuel, and one's a sinking, floating. So if it runs out of fuel, it doesn't really do anything.
Google this?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, of course you did. Yeah, don't get in there and strut at us you're smarter.
I'm saying this. It's a different system. It's a ballast system. Once you have more air, it floats. You let the air out, it sinks.
Yep.
So this is an educational show.
All right, you know? Len, what did you learn about the White Sox as they face the Astros this weekend?
I don't know, because, number one, the Astros are really good. And if you ask me the best team I've seen this year, it would be Houston. But the White Sox also caught them during their hottest stretch of the year. And the White Sox probably right now not at their best, particularly offensively. But if anything, I think it tells you two things. Number one, that's a very tough lineup to navigate through, and if it's a team you face in October, it will not be easy. And then I think for this offense, it's just this is what it's like facing really good elite pitching. And while the White Sox did not face Zach Greinke, who could be a Hall of Famer, Justin Verlander's coming back from Tommy John surgery and may not throw another pitch as an Astro. But names like Urquidy and Valdez and Garcia are really good. And Lance McCullers Jr., they're not huge names. But I think having seen the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, the Rays, the Yankees, and now the Astros, I would say the Astros look to me to be probably the cream of the crop. We haven't seen the A's yet. I know they're very good. But I think Houston is a team that's definitely a World Series contender.
Oh, yeah, Len, I don't want to hold the Toyota Let's Go Places question of the day like I did last week, because I think it's very topical with the Adam Engel injury now. And Eaton's out. Their whole starting outfield is out. And Madrigal. That you don't want to make a move in June. Like, a lot of these moves and trades don't even materialize till the beginning of July. But will Rick Hahn be forced to make a move maybe before he wants to because of all these injuries?
Maybe. And, you know, I think there was a question of, do you need an infielder or do you need an outfielder as it pertains to this position player group? And the answer could end up being both. You know, I think because Engel, and I don't know all the details of, you know, how long they expect him to be out, but the fact that this is the same injury as the one that kept him out for the first 58 games, Now you start to wonder just how reliable he will be this year with that hamstring. You could argue the top five outfielders, if you include Billy Hamilton in that group, are all on the injured list. I mean, that's devastating. So, you know, that's where you start to think of some names. And, you know, I don't know if Whit Merrifield would be somebody the Royals would consider moving to a division foe. But he can play the outfield and the infield. Adam Frazier we're going to see in the next two games. He has defensive versatility. I know the name Eduardo Escobar has come up. So those are probably the types of guys, that sort of profile that Rick Hahn is looking at. And my hunch is it's not just going to be a part-time player. I think if he makes a move, he's probably going to think big and somebody who would play a lot.
Yeah, you've seen Adam Frazier more. It's not like you walk away from Pirates series if you're Joe fan and you're rooting for your team and you really remember a lot of the big Adam Frazier moments, but he's a really good player, and like I said, you've seen him. So tell Sox fans and those listening what kind of a player he is.
Doesn't strike out much, works counts, has a quick short swing. I saw him, I think, have a four double performance against the Cubs back in 19. Leads the major leagues right now with 23 doubles. He's not going to be a guy who hits the ball out of the ballpark a lot, but again, has gap power, plays second base, plays the, you know, corner spots in the outfield. Just a very professional hitter and a left-handed bat, and I think that's another thing that is intriguing. So, you know, again, I don't know what the Pirates would want for somebody of his caliber, but I think that is, again, the type of player that this front office is probably looking at to try to supplement and help this group.
This will be the first night Sox pitchers are checked for substances, correct, Len?
Yes.
A, what do you feel about the policy? And B, I know you talk to Tony every day. What does Tony La Russa think about what Major League Baseball is doing on this front?
I think Tony understands it's been something they've talked about for years, and rules are rules, and he accepts those. I would be surprised if anybody gets caught because the punishment is pretty severe. Now, it's 10 days paid, and people kind of rolled their eyes at that, but you cannot replace that suspended player on your roster. That is a very big deal, and I think when you make punishment about the team more than the individual, I think that's even more effective. So I'd be shocked if there are more than a handful of guys who get nailed here in the next few days.
Do you like the way this looks, that every guy walking off the mound after he gets out of a jam or he pitches a 1-2-3 inning that, hey, let's check your hat, let's check your glove, let's check your belt?
I don't know how this is going to go, and DJ and I obviously will talk about it as we experience it. I would imagine the first week or two, every pitcher will be checked. And then I do think there will be a point where it'll become somewhat random, and the idea will be at any moment, and it might even be after an at-bat, we can do it. That should be enough deterrent, and if anybody gets caught, I think that also would be another big deterrent. So I think they're going to play this day by day, and I'd be shocked if by the end of the year every pitcher continues to get checked.
What are you expecting to see from Giolito tonight?
Well, you know, hit this group the last time around, so you know that they remember it and will try to make adjustments. The top four in this lineup's not bad. Now, if you look at the Pirates, they're bottom of the barrel in runs in the league, but Frazier, Key Brian Hayes, Brian Reynolds, Colin Moran, that's a pretty good top four. So I think you pick your spots, and if you can get through that part of the lineup, that's very instructive. The bottom of the order, very pitchable. It's a National League setup, so you'll have the pitchers batting tonight and tomorrow. But I think Lucas has been a good stretch and should be very good tonight.
Are you disappointed at all at times how the Sox defense looks a little shaky?
Yeah, I think everybody is. And to be a championship-caliber team, especially one that relies so much on its pitching, you have to catch the ball. That, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Sylvie. That's the other lesson learned, I think, and maybe 1A over the weekend, is against a good offense like the Astros, you cannot give them extra outs. Every time the White Sox made a defensive mistake, the Astros made them pay dearly for it, and that's the kind of thing that you improve by working at it, and it's something this group does.
I don't know if you and DJ saw this tweet at all a couple hours ago for Major League Baseball. MLB tweeted out a picture of a baseball that looks like a moon, and it says in the picture 6/23/21, which is tomorrow, and it says big things coming with the eyeballs. Any guesses on what Major League Baseball has in store for us?
Wow. I don't.
Check
by the way,
out.
By the way, the baseball that is, they basically are projecting it as the moon, looks like it's got some foreign substance on it. I'm not going to lie, Len. I'm a little bit bothered by it. It looks like maybe a 21-year-old intern was in charge of putting the baseball picture out there.
Okay. Now I'm intrigued.
Yeah, check that out.
Okay, I'll find it. Yeah, I'll do a little legwork on it. I'll text you if I find out anything.
And as a guy who just grew up loving the game and has been around it for as long as you have, how cool is it just to watch DeGrom pitch right now?
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. I don't think people quite understand how hard it is to get guys out. And look, the pitching's better than it's ever been. And I know, you know, we criticize hitters for swinging and missing a lot and approach and all those things. But if you look around the game, and I think this, we have a recency bias in some ways, right? But I think we have the other thing where we see a generational type performer like Jacob DeGrom, and I don't know if we appreciate it while it's happening. So there's kind of the two things at work here. But in DeGrom's case, I don't know if we've seen another guy quite like him in a few decades to be able to put up an ERA of half a run and to kind of have some shoulder issues too. I feel like with a torn labrum he could put up like a 150.
I never thought it's
insane how good he is.
Never thought I'd see anything more dominant from a pitcher than what we saw from Jake Arrieta years ago, but like this is putting numbers wise what
this
Jake
is
did
the best ever
to shame.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Len. We'll be listening tonight, 15 minutes away from White Sox pregame and first pitch at 6:10. Then we'll hear you tomorrow, and we'll be on right after that Sox game. So thank you.
Thanks,
you
Len.
You got it, guys. Talk to you next week.
Len Casper is absolutely awesome. He's the voice of the White Sox, as is Toyota, which brings you Len Casper, brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Toyota! Let's go places. We'll go to another odd place.
Oh,
we've been
boy.
In several odd places today, but when one of our teammates brought up the topic, who has the most punchable face in sports, it was quite funny, and I'll play that for you next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
I was listening to Carmen and Yurko like I do every day. You can do that three
too.
Easy ways. ESPN 1000, the brand new 100.3 HD2. Yes, FM. We're there now as well. 100.3 HD2. And, of course, that ESPN Chicago app. We're sending out text messages planning the next Crosstalk Unhinged that will be recorded in the next day or two. So that will drop on the ESPN Chicago app. All your favorite shows on demand, any interviews you may have missed, any fun segments. If you miss a show one day, go right back there and touch of a button, it's there. You can listen live as well.
Before we go anywhere, is it time to shuffle the balls?
Oh, yeah.
You haven't shuffled the balls lately.
Let's shuffle the balls. I don't know how dicks work. Sporting goods in the shoe department.
All right. As
do you need a drum roll?
We've gotten 8, 8, and 9. We'll simulate it one more time.
What time is this for tonight?
Game time!
7:30. 7:30, okay. So we'll be together.
2 hours and 9.
We're going to have a live. The last time we were all together to watch something like this is when they drafted Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, God.
So nothing could go wrong tonight.
How long you're staying.
All right. Wow. Drum roll, please.
I don't know how dicks work.
9 again. Wow, we suck.
We have not gotten a top 4
pick
today.
We'll do it one more time.
Coming into tonight, the Bulls have a 36.2% chance to land the 9th pick.
Before we leave, one more time.
Let's just make a quick prediction. I'm predicting 9th. This is where they're gonna fall.
I'm going to say even 10th.
Okay. Chris?
Give me 8.
Okay.
Me eight.
Adam?
4. Let's get it.
Oh, let's do this.
Let's get it.
You're just pandering.
Let's get a pick we can trade. Let's do it.
You clicking again?
No, I said at the end of the show.
Yeah, before we get out of here.
So I want to play you this. So I was listening to Carmen and Yurko. He phrased this. At the end, this will turn into a topic that is the most, like, who has a, quote, punchable face. But I think Yurko at the very beginning was just saying that he hates Tom Brady and he wants to beat him up.
Right.
And, like, we were just marveling over more Tom Brady fun.
Like, I think he's become more likable than ever before.
It's incredible what he's done. It's like, how could you not marvel over Jacob DeGrom? It's like, how could you not marvel over what Tom Brady's doing?
By the way, I think that he was more prone to be disliked as he was a member of the New England Patriots than with him breaking. I think if you asked the majority of people in the Belichick versus Brady duel, more people would side with Brady than Belichick. And I think him separating himself from New England and going to Tampa,
right,
I think made him more likable in the eyes of most people.
Yeah, and he brings all his fun friends with him, like Gronk and everything.
He gets drunk on boats celebrating Super Bowls.
And he's making putts today to preview. You think that was photoshopped or edited?
Yes, totally.
He sent out a tweet today to Bryson DeChambeau, to Phil Mickelson,
and Aaron Rodgers
in this match they're in. And he made the same long putt three times in a row. You believe that was edited?
I don't know that he made it once, that they edited it and they show him making the putt and then they ran it three separate times as he addressed three separate people.
Camera tricks. So this was Yurko today talking about Tom Brady.
But there's nobody I'd want to punch in the face more than Tom Brady. He's got that face that just makes you want to just bop him right in the nose, blow the nose up, give him the black eyes. I mean, and bleeding all the way down his face. He is the most punchable face, I think, in the history of America.
No, I don't know about that. You really think he's got that punchable of a face?
Oh, yeah. The other one would have been the quarterback at Notre Dame, Clawson. Jimmy Clawson.
Jimmy Clawson, yes.
Very punchable face also, yeah. And maybe I just got a thing against quarterbacks.
He was driving today. So he was driving because Carmen's was sick and he had to do the show from home. And so Yurko's driving
Carmen
today.
Carmen sounded like he needed some hot tea.
More than that, right. Needed some feet in his face.
I don't think a rendezvous with some nice, sexy feet is going to cure his sinus problem.
Wasn't that an odd take?
Yeah,
I don't look at Tom Brady and say that's a punchable face.
Yeah, I don't either.
Like, I think we did a topic on this way years ago. We used to call jerk face. Someone like Jim Edmonds had a jerk face.
Yeah, he did.
John Lackey had a jerk face. Just someone who looked like they were always miserable and unhappy.
John Gruden's got that, hey, someone wiped something smelly on his upper lip and he's always curled it up and he's always angry about something. I don't know what he's angry about. He gets $10 million a year to run an average football team.
Do you ever think about that? Like, I haven't really even thought about people that I would like to punch or have someone else punch.
I got to be honest with you. There's nothing coursing through my veins right now that leads me to want to punch anybody.
Do you guys have a guy? Is there a guy that you guys look at and say, that guy needs a punch in the mouth?
Every day from 2 to 6.
It's not nice.
he's got two fists, so we're each getting one, right? Or are you? It can't be Black because you're not looking at his face.
No. I think I'm good.
Ouch. We were discussing that in the iDoc bullpen.
You're not getting it right, bro.
Before the show, and remember,
iDoc. Take the Shoe Lather Express.
iDoc reminds you driving, biking, or walking responsibly really is a matter of life or death. Learn more through social media at Life or Death.
You guys want to hang out tonight?
Are you suggesting maybe you want to punch yourself in the face for subjecting yourself to this nonsense?
No. Listen, you guys put it on a tee. I don't know what you're supposed to.
We put our face out on a tee. Now you got to punch it.
What am I gonna? I'm gonna say, Mitch Trubisky's got a punchable face.
Mitch is a huggable guy. Mitch is a sweet guy who just can't play quarterback. Like Yadi Molina, maybe. Yadi Molina's got a punchable face. It's always a Cardinal with me.
I don't know. I just don't traffic in the desire to punch anyone in the face. Like, I just don't. I don't wake up in the morning and go,
But there's nobody I'd want to punch in the face more than Tom Brady. He's got that face.
Do you think the good kid really wants to punch him in the face?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think the good kid's nearly as violent as he was leading on or whatever talking about today. I just don't. I truly think he'd rather have a drink with you and have a cigar than actually get in a ring and fight with you.
No, yeah, I don't think he likes Tom Brady, though, but I'm with you. Like, I was always a Peyton Manning guy, always. And the more that Tom Brady has played, the more he's made this so obvious that he's the best football player to ever play. Like, not only does he have the most championships and everything, but to win it at this age and to continue to play as well as he's played. Like, I saw today, I sent this to Bleck because I know that he does not look. You would not want to punch Chris Sims in the face?
No.
No? Like, Chris Sims tweeted out, I guess he made a list of the top quarterbacks. He ranked all the quarterbacks. And I think he ranked Brady like 14th.
Aaron Rodgers was not one or two, right?
He was three.
He's a defending
right.
MVP.
And a lot of people, I looked because Dove Kleinman tweeted it out saying, I can't believe that Chris Sims would put him
this low. Let me guess. I haven't seen the list. Does he have Mahomes as one?
Right.
And does he have Russ Wilson at two?
Yes. Rodgers, three. Guess who he's got at four?
He's at four. He's got...
maybe the biggest question mark going into the 2021 football season.
Deshaun Watson.
Right. And he's got Tom Brady 15th. He's got Tom Brady behind. Check this out. Ben Roethlisberger, Kirk Cousins, Cam Newton, Matt Ryan is seventh. Like, how do you have Tom Brady behind all those guys?
I don't know that Ben Roethlisberger is going to be even able to throw a football this
right.
year.
Right. So, a lot of people had the same thought that Bleck did, that they all wrote clickbait, clickbait, clickbait.
All right, last time. You guys ready?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, the draft simulator for the 2021 NBA Draft Lottery. Drum roll, please. We are 2 hours and 1 minute away. Click. Second pick! Second pick!
That's,
second pick!
We leave
you're
with
a liar.
Good karma.
The Bulls have a 4.8% chance
look,
to get the second pick.
Verify! Second pick!
Hey,
Oklahoma City gets the number
baseball.
One pick.
That's right.
Baseball.
Set
coming
yourselves up,
next. Up
for disappointment.
For Black Abdallah and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Good night. I don't know how dicks work.
It's the classic.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'll give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.